Thank you.
Good morning. Good to see everybody here. I see some visiting faces, and we are so glad you're here visiting with us today. I pray that the Lord would give you a special blessing today. We have been impressed and interred by God's message to those of us that are speaking from the front. How many of you were here for Michael Stark's message last week? What a powerful message, Michael. And every week we've continually had series of very powerful messages because I think the Lord is trying to get our attention. As was stated earlier, we are living on the brink of the edge of the razor blade of time. I don't think there's anybody in here that would disagree with that. Just look at the signs around you. Jesus said, there will be signs, and you need to get ready, right? Isn't that what he said? Yeah. He's not going to surprise us. We may not know the day or the hour, but he's not going to just, you lucky guys, here I am, you're not going to make it, you're not going to make it. That isn't him. Brother Bridges, he is looking for every single person in here to go home with him, isn't he? Everybody, without exception. No matter how ugly and nasty you are on the inside, or at least how nasty and ugly you feel like you are on the inside. Because when God sees you and Jesus has poured his blood over the top of you, he sees a perfect person. Yeah, I can't believe that's all. One amen. Wow, what a powerful message that is, isn't it? That's what keeps me get up and going in the morning. I am a horrible, ugly sinner. If you guys saw me, you wouldn't like me. You wouldn't hang around with me. You wouldn't listen to me right now. But Jesus has taken and covered me. What a beautiful message that is. And each one of you have a beautiful message to share as well. I'm going to tell you that Satan was working really hard this week to make sure that this didn't happen. And I'm not going to give you any details or particulars, but he was working very, very hard. And it's just by the grace of God and a miracle that I'm standing up here right now. So don't listen to what I'm telling you. This is him, as it always is when I'm up here, because this is spaghetti right now, but he tends to take it and weave everything. What a beautiful children's story, by the way. Weaves the messages that we hear in song and the interactions that we have all together and makes it this beautiful thing that we get to come and gain a blessing, even though that isn't, hopefully that isn't why you're here, just to gain a blessing. I'm going to refer to my notes every now and then, so bear with me. I was thinking about what I was going to say this week, and about less than a minute later, I uncovered this piece of material that was laying right there beside my chair. And if any of you have ever seen the area right beside my chair, it's a miracle that this was ever even found, much less produced at the exact appropriate time. This text comes from Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1, and you can join me by looking up that scripture with your Bible. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and verse 2. You know, the messages we've been getting from the front talk to us about spending time in the Word and begging and pleading for the Holy Spirit. And once we find and develop our relationship with the Lord, what's the next thing we need to do with that information? Share it, yeah. Matthew 28, we've talked about that from the front. Almost every person who's spoken has talked about that. Jimmy talked about it the last time he was up here, and ad infinitum. So you've had a chance to get there. Isaiah 59:1, it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Now, we're taking this completely out of the context in the scripture, but it's so applicable because it stands alone anyway by itself. But your iniquities have separated you between have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear you. What a horrible downer message, isn't it? Now, we can't always get up here and preach sunshine and the blessings gospel. Can't do that all the time. But it seems like every time we come to church, at least somewhere in that sermon, there's this thumb that we can feel proverbially over top of us that we have fallen so short of the glory of God. But there's good news today, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus Christ died for each one of us, as we mentioned earlier, and he provided a way for us to accept and get the gift that he gave to us. Yeah, that is fantastic news. And the gospel itself is not just about Jesus is coming soon, obviously, as part of it. But I think the biggest thing that we tend to skip over, because we know it in our mind, is that Jesus loves us. And through that love, he has shown us what we need to do to those around us, right? This is a message of love that you're going to hear today, because in his mercy, God ends the suffering that's going on out of his love, not out of vengeance, not out of punishment. It is a punishment, but that isn't why he ends this. Okay, so this comes from Desire of Ages, page 317, paragraph 1. And I'm going to read it slowly, painfully slowly, because this is right following the Isaiah 59:2 text. It is thus that every sinner may come to Christ, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. That's biblical. That isn't somebody dredging up a thought, Mrs. White dredging a thought up. That came from Titus chapter 3, verse 5. And when Satan tells you that you are a sinner, by George, you can't argue with him, and that you can't hope to receive a blessing from God, you tell him this. Tell him that Christ came into this world to save sinners, just like me. We have nothing to recommend us to God but the plea that we may urge now and ever is our utterly helpless condition that makes his redeeming power a necessity. It's not optional. It's an absolute necessity. We, without him and without that power, we don't have any hope. It is a hopeless situation. Renouncing all self-dependence, we may look to the cross of Calvary and say, in my hand no price I bring. Anybody know the rest of that? In my hand no price I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. One more thing, and we're going to jump into our praise and share. And if you haven't done praise and share with us before, what we're going to do is we're going to sing a song, or maybe two. I'm not sure what Zach has worked up. I gave that to Zach to work on. So we're going to do a song, and then we're going to allow you a time to share. You know, when we go and tell the gospel, it doesn't necessarily have to be to somebody who hasn't ever heard it before. That would be good, and we probably need to spend most of our time there, but there's something powerful about sharing what's going on with you and what God has done in your life right here to strengthen the rest of us believers. So toward that end, and then we're going to have a prayer after we do that. We're going to do that two or three times today, okay? We still got time. While I was thinking about what to say, again, immediately after finding this little gem that I just read to you earlier, the thought came to my mind, well, why don't you share a testimony? And I thought, well, most of you have heard my testimony multiple times and probably really don't need to hear it, but I thought, you know, but for the grace of God, I'm here right now today, able to share this with you, just by the grace of God. And the first thing that popped in my mind was, how many times have you been near to death and you're still here? And within a matter of less than a minute, I came up with five times that I can tell you right for sure that I should be dead now. I should be, not here in front of you. I should be in a hospital bed or whatever the scenario comes to the end of that story. And I'm going to tell you about just two of those instances. All five of those, that, by the way, that immediately popped into my mind were involving car accidents. And I guess they tend to be traumatic, so they tend to stamp themselves into your memory. But it's not just car accidents. I got to thinking, I probably have about 15 or 16 that I could actually share with you, times that I should be dead now, and I'm not. That tells me that God has a plan for me. He wants to use me to do something. Sometimes it's a little muddy and a little foggy in my mind, but the first one that I'm going to share with you today is, I think it was about 21 or so, had gone to school out west at Walla Walla College, for those of you that are familiar, and I had a couple of friends out there. One of them thought he was an aspiring Formula One race car driver, and another friend of ours had just gotten a car, so what more perfect time than to go out and drive around back in the Blue Hills, back behind Walla Walla. It's gorgeous out there if you've never been. And we were out cruising along, and he was going over the speed limit. And the last time I saw the speed limit, I was sitting in the back seat. I was going to bring an example of what that car looked like after we had our accident. But the last time I looked at the speedometer, it said 80 miles an hour, and shouldn't have been 80 miles an hour on that road ever. But when the car stopped, I think it rolled at least twice that I can remember. The whole back end where I was sitting was completely flat, just like this. And I remember getting pressed down. There was a jar of peanut butter in the back window, and the back window was gone, and the peanut butter was as well. When we finally stopped, we were turned completely sideways in the road. And, you know, while you're doing that at a 21-year-old age, well, it's just another experience. And I'm going to give the Lord every single inch, ounce, whatever measurement you want to use of credit, because everybody walked out of that car without a scratch. No scratch. Nobody went to the hospital. Now, we were sore. But nobody even got hurt. No broken bones, nothing. 80 miles an hour, when the policeman came finally, and it took him a long time to get there, he couldn't believe it. It was an amazing. So, again, another opportunity for the Lord to go, yeah, I got something in mind for you. Still not sure what it is, and I'm getting on up there in years, and the Lord continues to do that. About 2 years ago, I was in Mobile, Alabama, on my way home in my little red car, or those of you that are familiar with that, and I fell asleep at the wheel. This was about, I don't know, 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Fell asleep at the wheel, and it was very brief. I mean, it was probably less than 2 seconds. I remember going. I remember getting a little drowsy, and the next thing I thought I'd, you know, jerk myself awake, but I was drifting off the road. Looked at the speedometer. That magical 80 was right there on the speedo. And the next thing I knew, I had hit the guardrail in the median of the road at 80 miles an hour, and it took and just completely mashed up the whole left side of my car and spun me out into the interstate. I remember going around at least twice. I was hanging on like a bucking bronco. And when the car finally slowed down, the car had died. Motor was not running. I looked in the rearview mirror, and it was sideways, so I didn't really get a good idea, but I recognized that the car was not operational, so I popped the clutch. The car started back. I didn't know what kind of condition it was in, but it started back up, and I went on down the road. Again, not a scratch. And I drove that car on home, although I couldn't get out of the left side because the whole thing was so beat up. It looks now like you can't get out of the left side, but it's more functional now. So at least two instances that I can tell you relatively recently, and it came to my mind that quickly, the Lord's plan for me in my life, and just an opportunity to share with you that he has a plan for you in your life. His hand is not slack or shortened. His ear is not closed to us. He cares about what's going on in our lives. So you're going to have an opportunity to share some of what he's doing in your life as soon as we get done singing our first song.
We're going to sing is Holy, 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 and we should always take time to show adoration to our God and our Creator. So please join us as we sing Holy, Holy, Holy.
to share his testimony with you. Nathan is a walking, talking miracle. If any of you have talked to Nathan, you already are already aware. Some of you may not know Nathan's story, and I don't know what he's going to share with you. I told him, let the Holy Spirit lead. He could probably talk to us for an hour on the things that God has done in his life. So, Nathan, you have the mic.
All right. Praise God. Thank you, Chuck. Yes, Chuck asked me, and I'm like, wow, you know, there is so much that I want to be able to share with everybody. I could probably write a book, as I'm sure most of us probably could. That's what at least Uncle Ted told me. You should write a book, Nathan. Well, it isn't my story. It's God's story the way I see it. And so I asked Chuck, I said, how do you want me to say this? He says, well, who is Jesus to you? So I started thinking about it, and to make it as, you know, I don't want to take up all the time, but I do want to bring up a few points. So I started, Jesus is my everything. I didn't know it at the time, you know, but by his grace, he's revealed that to me over the course of the years. And if I had to, you know, work it down into four things, well, he's my healer, he's my deliverer, my provider, and my salvation. And those are the ones that stood out. I have this piece of paper. I'm probably not even going to use it. But, you know, I started thinking about the Israelites when they came out of bondage in Egypt. And God brought them, and they went through 40 years in the wilderness. And then on top of that, when he finally did bring them in into the city that he was bringing them into, into the land he was bringing them to, they still had this whole process to go through of healing and restoration and, you know. And I think all of us in our journey through one way or another, we go through these certain phases or seasons in our walk where God reveals himself in another way, in another way. And then we discover throughout the whole time that he was revealing different dimensions of his character to us. And, oh, man, he's just so awesome. And, you know, I'm going to get tripped over my words here. So I was like, okay, Lord, what am I going to say? In your word, it says, don't worry about what you're going to say, because in that very hour, the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. And so I claimed that right away. I said, okay, I claim that promise. And I've been learning to do that, to claim certain promises over my life that are written in his word for me to claim. I've been trying to do a lot more of praying the word and just believing that that is there for my edification, for me. And, you know, he's just so good to continue to reveal more and more to me with things like that. So I was like, okay, well, what's a good verse? God spoke to me through numbers a lot coming up. You know, actually in the past 4 years especially, it was like just for instance earlier, and I know this is probably going to sound kind of new agey to some people, but like 11:11 was on the clock when Chuck was talking earlier. And I was just something I see. And to me, it's just a marker that God says, hey, I'm right here, you know, through one way or another. And that's how he talks to me. He may talk to everybody else differently. If y'all have been on my Facebook page, usually every day, today is 3:18, I try to post a 3:18 verse. And I was like, okay, Lord, well, how am I going to start this out? Well, it's not 3:18, but it's 31:8, Deuteronomy, and it says, the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Isn't that awesome? So even just like I could claim that promise that the Lord is going to give me something to say, he went ahead of me today. And I said a prayer this morning. I said, Lord, be with me in that moment right before I go up there to speak. This is not about me. You know, I would like you to be glorified. So speak through me in that moment. And he did. He's here with me. I feel him right now. And he's amongst us even. So what about when we mess up? Well, he goes before us. What follows us? His goodness and his mercy follow us. And it's just such an awesome thought. Since God created time, and I were talking about this in the car this morning, God created time. He's not bound by time. So he can like step into any moment throughout the course of the whole history of our life and affect it. And I'd like to think that we can ask him to do that too. Like I asked him to be with me before I came up here to talk. I heard a preacher talking one time. It's like, okay, so if you can ask God to be in your future, and if he has promised he will be in your future, what about your past? What about something that's already happened? You think his hands are tied? I don't think so. So, like, my father died about 7 years ago. And he had a pretty rough life, I guess, but I loved him. He was my dad. He was pretty spiritual, but he didn't really have a close relationship with the Lord that I knew of. So I prayed, Lord, go into that moment right before my dad died. Enter his life and reveal your love and compassion to him in such a way. Let him not die alone on that floor. And I believe that he did, you know, because he knew I was going to pray that prayer. When he died, there was a Bible on his bedside table. So that's just, to me, some comfort to know that, you know, don't be... I'm going to ask God to be in every moment of my life. You know, he already is, but, you know, the more we become aware of that, man, the more miracles start happening, I believe, to me. So, man, it's been a long journey. You know, the Israelites came out of, you know, Egypt, and they're there, and they're going through the wilderness, and they set up this huge system of sacrifices and to try to get them back to God. I was diagnosed with OCD when I was a kid, like really bad. It crippled me. I couldn't go to school. I got kicked out of class a lot. I would do these rituals because I felt dirty everywhere I went, and I felt like everything and everyone was dirty. And I would like wash my hands till they bled. And I remember one of my rituals was if I felt unclean, I would pray, and I would get down, and I would just be there for, I don't know, however long it took till I felt clean. I would just keep praying. I might rock back and forth. I might do whatever it was. I might take 8 showers. I don't know. And I started thinking, I was like, that's kind of like what the Israelites did when they were like ritually unclean. They had to go through this whole ritual just to get clean, not really realizing that was just a foreshadow of Jesus who makes us clean permanently, you know? And no, he didn't heal me from that right away, but it was a process. I decided to join the military a little later, and boy, the military didn't give me time to do rituals. So God is my healer. Throughout the whole course of the military, my OCD went away. And I can't tell you when, it just did. It was gone. And I'm like, wow. And I give God the glory for that. I do believe that that was him. And I would have never thought, being in the military, that I was going to go to war one day. Well, I found myself on the boat headed to shore going to war. And I'm like, wow, my goodness. And of course, I'm really praying now. You know, I grew up in the church. I don't know if you all know my grandfather, my grandmother Ann, her husband Jack, and they raised me pretty much. And so I've grew up in the church. I've always known about the Lord. I just, until recently, he didn't really start revealing himself to me like amazingly like he has. But we go to war, man, surprisingly, my whole unit, the unit before us gets wiped out. The unit behind us gets wiped out. Not a single one of us died over there from our unit. I came home. We all came home. Everything, you know, and I just, Psalms 138:7 says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. Amen. Not to mention the one where 10,000 may fall at your right hand, 1,000 at your left, and not a single touch or will harm you, you know. Man, it's just amazing. And so fast forward, I get out of the military, and I really wanted to be in a band. I wanted to do music. Well, long story short, I developed an addiction, and I had to move. I moved here to Tullahoma to live with my grandparents. I used my GI Bill to go to Motlow, and I found a group of people that loved music like me, so I started playing in a band. You know, I was going to be a teacher. That's what I went to Motlow for, but it didn't really work out because I started playing in the band. And you know what the band brings. There's more drugs, more partying, more ridiculousness. And I knew who God was, but I don't know what I was doing. I don't know if I was trying to see what I could get away with or what. You know, it's pretty crazy. So God's my healer. God's my deliverer. He delivered me from, you know, the war and all that. Well, I get here, and I stopped coming to church. I was coming here for a while, and I kind of fell off and got bad into drugs. He's blessing me all the way still, mind you. I'm not trying to say that it was all bad. But I made a lot of bad choices. I got stripped down to nothing. I got nothing. You know, I lost a place to live, lost my car, lost my job. For about 5 years, I was a bum on the street. And in the midst of all that, the Lord was calling me back. I could tell He was speaking to me in ways that I can't even describe. A lot of people would say it's the drugs. I'm going to tell you what, I'm not giving the glory to the enemy on that. It was not the drugs. That was how deep God reached in to get me when I was covered up by darkness and wickedness and evil. He had to do something amazing to get me to wake up, and he did. I don't want to take up too much time, but he's my provider. All right, since then, the Lord has brought me out of that drug addiction, brought me back here with y'all. I mean, I've got some amazing stuff, y'all. I would love to tell you sometime. But here I am, and I know that he's still working in my life, and he's still doing great things. And I'm not perfect. I've still got some things I'm working on. I still have some things that I'd like to get out of my life that are not completely gone. But somewhere along the way, I realized I can't just not come to church. I don't care if I'm dirty or what, or if I have problems in my life. This is where the healing is. Fellowship, you all. You give up when you stop. And you got to just believe God and have faith that if you come, he'll do something through you and in your life. And he has. He has. And throughout this whole process, I had nothing. I got into a drug court in Manchester. They put me in a halfway house. Long story short, COVID happened. Everybody that was in the halfway house with me left. I was the only one left in the house. And I was working at Food Line. I wasn't making enough money. I needed to pay child support. So I was praying one day around Walgreens. I said, Lord, I need some more money to pay my child support. I don't know what's going to happen. It was early in the morning. Before I could finish the prayer, a guy pulled up in a van and said, hey, man, you need a job? And I work there still today, detailing cars. COVID happened. They were going to sell the halfway house. They said, you need to find a place to live. I said, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? Boss got wind of it. My boss, who's been so good to me, the Lord has used him to bless me, and I'm so thankful for that. He said, oh, they're selling the house? Nah, I'm going to buy it. So I stayed in the house. I got a house now. I didn't have a car yet, but I could walk to work, you know. Well, I got a car right after that, too. So I got a house. I got a car. I got a testimony. I got a job. I got my kids back. Because you can imagine that whole mess in between. I didn't get to see them as much as I'd like to. Man, the Lord's good. He really has restored my life. And I'm in the promised land. I feel I'm coming into that promised land of my life. So he is my salvation as well. There's those four things. Healer, deliverer, provider, salvation. Man, God's good. Man, I hope you all know that. Oh, I know you know that. That's why we're here. Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you, Nathan. Praise the Lord. If we have anybody else that has a minute or two to share before we have prayer, anyone? I'm gonna hold off on you for just a little bit more. Did I see another hand here? Did I see you?
I can just say something about Nathan.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, we did VBS here. You guys all did. We did VBS here years ago, and he was there. And to me, he was always a shining light. Him and his sister were a shining light even back then.
Amen.
So thank you.
Also, this is pertaining to Nathan. You don't know how many years this church has prayed for you. Especially your grandmother. Every Sabbath, she would stand up here, pray for my grandson.
So. I know that word.
Yeah, his hand is not shortened, and his ear can still hear. So we're going to do a couple more little sessions like this. We're going to end this session with prayer. This is going to be our adoration and our Thanksgiving prayer, and Zach's going to lead.
As far as you're able, would you kneel with me? Our holy heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you with humble hearts. We kneel in your presence, and we recognize how great of a God you are, that you are the Most High God, you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we're so thankful that we can call you our God and our Heavenly Father. We thank you so much, Lord, for how you have watched over us throughout our lives. We thank you for the testimonies that you have given us each and every day through the blessings and the grace that you shower us with moment by moment. And we know, Father, that's all because of who you are. You are love. And you have declared that in your word, but you've also demonstrated that through the giving of your own Son for us, so that we may spend eternity with you. And Father, as the song that we sang this morning, you are surrounded by thousands and ten thousands of angels and all the created beings, and they spend eternity worshiping and praising your name. And we look forward to joining them in song someday, and in praise and in worship before you, as we assemble on Sabbath in heaven, or even here on earth when the New Jerusalem comes. Father, we are just so grateful, and may our hearts, as we praise you and worship you the rest of this morning, may the response of our heart, Father, be pleasing to you. May it just all be motivated by the love which you are working in us right now through your Holy Spirit. And we're just so thankful that you have stooped down so low to be here with us, to become like one of us, and show us the way home. Father, may you forever receive all the praise and all the glory, because it's your kingdom. This all is about you, about your character, and in the end, we know that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are God. And we pray all this, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Me and this little thing aren't getting along too well, so I may use this here temporarily. You know, if you sit and meditate and think about the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, it will overwhelm you. It will just completely just knock you off your feet. You can't really understand it, especially if you think about where he came from and what he came down to. But you know what? Jesus couldn't help himself. We're told that he not only loves us, he is love. The very embodiment of his persona is love. So it's one of those things that I shouldn't probably say it like this, but he had no control over the fact that he had to come down and give his life for us, because that was the only way that he could ransom us and take us home to heaven with him. And if that doesn't overwhelm you, then you probably need to reread... I'm not going to tell you what all you need to do. Let the Holy Spirit lead you there. But I would like to do a speech choir right now. If you'll open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. Everybody is familiar with this text, and you will probably be able to even quote it from memory. But we're going to do speech choir. That means I'm going to read one verse, then you read the next verse, and then I'm going to read one verse, and then you read the next verse. This comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Again, very familiar text to most of you. But this this just gives us a glimpse into the persona that we are talking about now, and why it is that we are here. That why are we actually here in this room today? We are praising the name of this this program, for lack of a better word, is praise and share. It gives you an opportunity to share the things that God has done for you and the things that he wants to do for you. And this is how he works. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And you. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is Jesus.
Some of you might be familiar with this next song. So again, we just ask you to follow along.
Lord, I come. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Christ in me.
Miss Nona, you want to come up, or you want to stay there? You can stay there either way. Come on. I remember we had an amazing facts series happen down on the corner over not too far from here, and I remember the first night that Nona came in, and I'm going to let you. I don't know what else she's going to tell us. She's going to tell what the Holy Spirit is leading her to tell. But I remember seeing you and Glenn, and we were so happy to see you. And then she ended up joining our church. So I don't know what she's going to say, but we'll find out.
Well, he said it. most of y'all probably have, well, I'll say most, a lot, have already heard my testimony. And but the ones that haven't, here you go. So as I mentioned earlier, you know, I was raised up with a big family. I was the eighth of 10. And we lived in a Christian household. I grew up with old-time gospel hour. Even in the old time, it was still called old-time gospel hour. And, of course, Oral Roberts and things like that. That was always on. And the news, that was a big thing when we were little. There were news and those programs. So I always thought that it was fear the Lord. I always was fearful. And I thought, well, you know, you got to do right, or, you know, all this stuff is going to happen. And there was a lot of, in our church, well, I'll back up. My grandfather and my great-grandfather were both Baptist preachers. My dad could have been, but he was a carpenter and farmer. But everything was, you know, praying for the crops, or praying for our food, praying for whatever, you know. It was to benefit the family. And so I grew up with that. But then as I had my own children, I thought, well, I need to find a place. You know, I'm looking, I'm searching, I'm asking. And probably I've been to 12 or more different churches. And I never felt just right about it. I'd ask questions, and I would get like a wishy-washy answer, or else one, not at all. Or we had the church I went to before, we had a lesson on Revelation. And all I remember from that class was that, oh, that's just full of numbers and things that we're not supposed to know about right now. Okay, so that didn't sit. So I get the card in the mail, and it's asking these questions, and I thought, that's the things I've been asking. You know, I want to go. I want to hear what they have to say. And so this was 20 years ago, and I know Flo's not here, but we'd mentioned a couple weeks ago, we've been here 20 years. We came in together, and David and Mary, we came from the same church. We've been here 20 years, and of course I knew David when I came in. He was our UPS delivery man, so I knew him. Cheryl worked there too. Anna, that came in years ago, she worked where I worked at the time. And of course Jasper, he's not here, but I grew up with the Heist family, so I felt like I was coming into a group family anyway. But anyway, that night my kids were late picking up the grandkids, so I thought, you know, I really want to go. And Glenn was not feeling well, so he was asleep, so I was going to have to go by myself. So that was, you know, I was thinking, well, yeah, but I could not go and hear what they had to say. So finally, you know, it was almost 7, whatever it was, and I said, I'm going to go anyway. So I pull up, and everybody's coming in, and they're dressed pretty nice. They got dresses and things on, and so I'm kind of hesitating. I thought, am I doing, you know, do I go in, do I don't, you know, what do I do? And somebody came out to the door with a water pitcher in his hand, and he says, come on in, you're in the right place. I mean, that was like, oh, Dale, thank you for that. The air conditioner was out in our building. The air conditioner was out in the building. We met it down here on Wilson Avenue. And he was going around giving everybody a glass of water because we had no air. And it was hot in there. So, but I mean, that first night, that's what I was going to tell on you. I remember the first encounter with you. We were passing each other in the hall. And you said, everybody treating you right? And I said, well, so far. And he stops. And he says, if they're not, said, you let me know. So that's so these kind of things. So I think the thing mine, Nathan's was a tough act to follow, but anyway, mine is memories, you know, because I was in my 30s the first time I was baptized. And so 20 years ago, I mean, you're doing the math, I know. So, you know, I'm, as you know, 20 years ago, I was in my early 50s. I mean, I came in with my grandchildren when they were young. And And now I've got great-grandchildren, so I'm trying to do the same thing, you know, to teach them and to give them the stories and the songs and the action things to make it real for them as well, too. But it's just it's been a trip. It's been good times and bad times, but I always knew who held my hand, and I always knew who had his hand on my shoulder. And like Mary used to say, I always knew who had his hand over my mouth, too. But it's memories, it's learning. And the ones that were here before us, I mean, you know, Maddie and Mary and Bill, and, you know, I've learned from all of those. So I guess my main thing to say is that that you don't have to be young, you don't have to be a child to go through all of this and to learn and to grow. Melinda, you and your mom, they took me under their wing, and I had so many memories, but I've grown and I've learned, and as I've said many times, you know, if as long as we're living, we're learning. So I'm an example. You don't have to be young. You can be older. And when I'm still learning, and I thank you all for that. We've got a precious church family. And then I'll say, like Maddie used to say, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Thank you, Miss Nona. Anyone else have something they need to share?
I just want to add a little to Nona's story because I came in under at the same time. But the beautiful thing, her husband, Glenn, we would come out of those meetings, and you know, when you're learning all this stuff, and it's so like the opposite of what I already knew because I grew up Catholic. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And her husband they would stand out there for like an hour or two after the meetings out in the parking lot with me. And they would just go over the stuff. And Glenn was so convicted on the Sabbath, you know. And it was just amazing. That was another. Here they weren't even members. But God had put it on their heart about, you know, learning about the Sabbath when they were, you know, going through the series. And that was so edifying to me because it wasn't like you guys telling me. It was somebody out searching just like I was. And the Spirit was acting on both of us. And we were really just drawn. I mean, we were just so drawn. We had to, like she said, had to go. And that I would say that was so true. But I'll always think of her honey, Glenn, just being so sweet and sharing books that he knew about the Sabbath to me. So that was wonderful.
Thank you, Mary.
I'd like to say thanks for having us here and visiting. You know, it's always nice to be part of a church worldwide family. You know, part of my testimony, I grew up Seventh-day Adventist and Wander Away and et cetera, but, you know, long story, we're all here. And, you know, I believe our message stands, you know, the Seventh-day Sabbath, the three angels' message and everything else can stand, et cetera. I kind of remember a story a few years ago. Some people always kind of talk politics to me, we're not going there, et cetera, but I found an opening. You know, when you talk either, you know, a former president, you loved him or hated him, I was again not going there. I was talking to a guy at Costco getting phones, and I said, you know, I got a book that explains what's going on. It's called The Great Controversy. And it doesn't matter what side people stand on, you can always say the same thing. And I remember giving him this book. Can't remember exactly our conversation. You know, God can help you open words for it. And a few weeks later, I was in Costco at the food court, and I saw him there, and he looked at me, and you could just, you know, and I, oh, man, I offended this guy. You know what I'm saying? And I talked to him, and I said, hey, Dylan, how you doing? And he was like, you know, you don't want that book back, do you? And I was like, no. And it was like all of a sudden the air went out of him, and he says, I want to give it to my brother. And, you know, I think to me, you know, our message, we can get diverted off on things that are irrelevant, you know, to our salvation, to the people. We can argue the politic piece or whatever, what has to be done, but we're not going to save them no matter what side you're sitting on in the aisle, you know, left or right, et cetera. But we can give them, and we have an opportunity to give them something long term. I've never seen him again at the place, you know, that I used to go in there. But, you know, I think for us, there's opportunities that we can pray for and have to give out stuff that will benefit them for eternity.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You guys have so many testimonies, and I always think back when I was reading the the book about prayer. And Evan Roberts, when all the Reformation revival happened, they would give testimonies until 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning because they couldn't help themselves. That's what happens when Jesus comes in. He takes over. You cannot keep it inside.
It wasn't too long ago, Chuck, that I sat in the car with you and you warned me about getting in the car with you. It was less than about a week ago. I feel, church family, that I'm probably the oldest one in this room. And the story that I heard from my nephew, I'm quite familiar with. Quite familiar with Ann in the back who was there. But the scripture that Chuck opened up the program this morning with, Isaiah 59, unbeknownst to you probably, Nathan, it says, we as his people are separated from the Lord, and we all need to come back to him. And he used the very words in Isaiah, Nathan, that you used. I was in darkness. Every one of us is in this room is in darkness. And I feel akin to Zach here praying. Was I pretty persistent, Zach? This young man came down from Michigan, lonely, out here at the base working, and we just struck up a friendship, continued to this day. So when I see my nephew come to this church just a few months ago, see Zach commit himself to the Lord, out at that base, lonesome, away from home, and of all people, his daddy recommended a program to him. What was the name of that program, Zach? Amazing Facts. You know the rest of the story. I remember carrying that water jug around, Nona. How about you, Mary and David? Do you remember those days? I had a hard time believing that was 20 years ago. But I wanted to share something with you today. Chuck, will you hold this, please? Because in the middle of Isaiah 59, it says we are in gross darkness. And if any of you have visited Anne, the way she gets around in her apartment now, it's difficult for her to see Dee's sister groping the walls, and that's what Isaiah says. It's just like we are, Nathan, Zach, Mary, Nona, David. We were all groping the walls. And Dee and I have been groping the walls for the last 2 years. Even at our old age, I want to encourage you people. COVID, Dee, was 2 years ago. Just less than a year ago, broken hip. Senility, Alzheimer's sinking in. Last night about 3 o'clock. 3:05, crying in bed. We all grope in darkness. But Chuck, in the last verse of that chapter you read said, as for me, says the Lord, I will not break my covenant with you. So I'm speaking to all of you. This has been one of the roughest years because of the illnesses. Moving from home, boxes all over our house, finding a new home the Lord opened up for us. My confidence is not shaken in the Lord.
Amen.
Isn't it providence, Chuck, how the Lord works us out? Our Sabbath school lesson for today, the perilous times in which we are living, the failing banks, nowhere to turn, where you're going to find hope. But in our Sabbath school lesson this day, that we studied, the Lord tells us in Lamentations, and tell me, people, who wrote the book of Lamentations?
Jeremiah.
Who?
Jeremiah.
Come on, Jeremiah. And who was Jeremiah?
Weeping.
Who was he?
Weeping.
The weeping prophet. What does that tell you? It tells Nathan's story. It tells Zach's story. It tells Nona's story. It tells my story, even though I'm an older, the oldest guy in this room. He does not fail us. He lives up to his covenant. And so if we go to Lamentations and read that text, those who wait upon the Lord find it good. When your soul says to seek the Lord, and you will find him. And he says, if you love me, I will love you. I just praise the Lord for seeing Dee and I through these last 2 years. And he's going to see us all the way through.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.
There's not a person in this room that's sitting in this section that I want to thank from the bottom of our hearts for the food, for the money, for all the labor that they have manifested in our behalf of moving our furniture and things. This has been a caring church for us. You've been praying for us, and I did not want to pass up today for thanking everyone that has helped. Food, labor, and most of all, prayers and the telephone calls. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank the Lord most.
Amen. Amen. Billy?
You come to my mind right now. I wonder why I'm waking up so much in the night.
Amen. You want me to read? Chronicles? Did you want me to read all of the Chronicles?
No, you don't have to read it. You have to read any of it. Just pray.
Okay. Chuck asked me to read 2 Chronicles 5, 6, and 7. I thought, man, that's a lot of reading to be reading out loud to everybody. But I understand where he's coming from. It is a the dedication of the temple. Bringing the ark. Solomon's prayer. I was picked to do the confession today. I confess a lot. Confess it to you now. I saved this from the other day. I know a lot of you uns get these. They're from Tim, the thoughts of the for the day, from Timothy McDonald. So, this is from Hebrews 4:15. Said, God sympathizes with us, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Hebrews 4:15. And this statement's from Desire of Ages. Said, as it is Satan's work to fill man's heart with doubt, he leads them to look upon God as a stern judge. He tempts them to sin, and then to regard themselves as too vile to approach their heavenly Father, or to excite his pity. The Lord understands all this. Jesus assures his disciples of God's sympathy for them and their needs and their weaknesses. Not a sigh breathed, not a pain felt, nor a grief pierces the soul, but the throb vibrates to the Father's heart. Don't ever give up confessing your sins, asking God for repentance. You know it's a gift from Him. I'll start this prayer for a moment of silence that we could all confess our private sins, and then I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit lead me to confess on behalf of our church. Heavenly Father, you've heard the confessions of your people. I know I confess mine regularly. I seem to confess the same things over and over. I'm sorry for that. Lord, me as a person and we have a church that falls short in many ways. We need your help. We can't do this on our own. We need to learn that. We need to learn to put you first. To put your message first. Quit being so selfish. Lord, I don't know. I can't really speak in behalf of the church. I try. I can just know what goes on in me. It probably goes on in others. Lord, we are the Laodiceans. We need that eye salve. For we think we don't need anything. And Lord, we're missing it all, it seems. Don't even know it. Think we know everything, but do we know you as we should? Do we love you? Lord, help us. Help us to repent. To be Christ-like. Transform our characters that we may go out and represent you. And when people see us, they see you. And we may bring others into this, into the fold, for the time is getting short. And we know you've been patient with us. And we ask that we don't, that you give us hope, that you don't give up on us, and that we don't give up on you, Lord. The time is short now. We I don't think we got time to perfect our characters in 20, 30 years. We need sanctification, and we need it now. I ask that you forgive me of my sins. Forgive my church family. And may we all be together in unity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Billy.
Appreciate that. Beautiful.
Next song we're going to do is, we were going to do Here I Am to Worship, but I'm being impressed for the sake of time. We're going to go to the next one and do Take My Life and Let It Be. And you know, this song is so fitting. When we give God our lives, he gives us testimonies like what we're hearing today. There's no limit to what the Lord can do in and through us. Amen?
Amen.
Capable too.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and let them move in the impulse of thy love, and the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let
Ms. Carrie? You want to stand or you want to hold it?
I'll hold it. Thank you. So I have an answer to prayer story to share with you. When Chuck asked me to share how God's been working in my life, I was harassed with this story over and over every night. You know what? I was so excited to share this story with my family when it happened because God is so good. And so I thought, well, if I can share it with my family, I should share it with my church family. So this is how God's been working in my life. A couple of months ago, my husband and I decided to buy a used truck. And we've been a one-car family for a few years now, but life just taking us in different directions. And so time to buy a vehicle to get everyone everywhere. So one day, Daniel took the day off, and we didn't have many requests. Daniel wanted a Ford F-150 four-door, and I wanted something with low mileage, which retrospectively might have been needle in a haystack kind of thing. His request might have been a little more realistic than mine was. Anyways, we looked at a few trucks. We met a few salesmen, and very quickly we realized we didn't have a ton of options. If you've shopped for used vehicles lately, you might have noticed the good ones get bought pretty quickly. They don't stay on the lot long. Well, my prayer at the beginning of the day when we started hunting for a truck was, please help us use the money wisely that you've given us and give us discernment on a truck deal. And I really just wanted to invite God into looking for a truck. That was really on my heart. So our options narrowed. We checked out this silver truck, and long story short, it was nice. It was a basic model, and the miles were higher than we wanted, and the cost was higher than we wanted. I'll tell you, our bank approved the loan, but they were not excited about it. And the reason why was because it was 130% over market value, which, when we did the math, was $3 overpriced. So while Daniel was talking at the bank, the kids and I stayed in the car and we prayed. And we asked God to shut the door if we shouldn't buy this truck and to open it if we should. We were getting excited. It's fun to buy new things. We were also not liking truck shopping. And we were ready to be done, you know. So Daniel came out from talking to the bank, and we were really unsettled about the price. Is this a good decision to make? I don't know. Everything is overpriced these days. Houses, cars, eggs, you know. It's... Anyways, Daniel went to talk to the salesman about this truck. And while he's talking to the salesman again about the price, the kids and I are staying in the car and praying again. Well, Daniel came out, and he said, we're not going to get it. It's not a good deal. And I said, well, did you tell them how much money they needed to come down? $3, right? And he said, well, that's not the point. It's not the point that it's only $3. It's that we don't have peace about this. Right? It's not a good decision to make. So we were disappointed. But we had opportunity in that moment to talk about how sometimes God says no. And remember that we asked for discernment. Well, God gave us discernment. And then after that, we had peace. Then Daniel told me that while he was talking to the salesman about this silver truck, that he got a text message from a salesperson that we'd met along the way of our truck hunt, and they had a truck in Lewisburg that might fit the needs that we were looking for. And here's the interesting thing about this Lewisburg truck. It was the same price as the silver truck we were looking for. It was a Ford F-150 four-door. The same year of this silver truck that we just decided not to buy. Well, we prayed again for discernment, because as I'm learning in my walk with God, it's important to invite God into your journey and all your decision making, even truck buying. So Daniel called this salesperson while we were praying, and he told him our budget and how our bank wasn't feeling the cost. And he said, come check it out. We'll work with you. So this Lewisburg truck ended up being our answer to prayer. And it was an answer to prayer because they came down in the price. It wasn't $3. It was $3,000 in price. And it wasn't less mileage. It was 10,000 miles less mileage than this other vehicle we were looking at. And just because he's a good, good father, it was a nicer model than the one we were looking at. And it was in better condition than the silver truck we had rejected. So I learned some lessons, and this is how God has worked in my life through the years as I've had a relationship with him. When we invite God into the process and we wait patiently for him, he is there with us in the waiting. We don't have the answer, but we're not alone in the waiting process. And when we wait on God's timing, he gives us the desires of our heart and then some. And there's a quote from Steps to Christ, which to me says very much who Jesus is to me in my relationship with him. It says, I needed help, and I found it in Jesus. Every want was supplied. The hunger of my soul was satisfied. And now the Bible is to me a revelation of Jesus Christ. Do you ask why I believe in Jesus? Because he is to me a divine savior. Why do I believe the Bible? Because I have found it to be the voice of God to my soul.
Thank you, Miss Carrie. Beautiful testimony. We have time for one more, if anybody has one. Brother Starks.
This is not actually a testimony, but it just shows how God is moving in this church. You know, we have been told through the spirit of prophecy that we do too much sermonizing, that there should be more testimonies in the church. So we see God's hand moving. This is why the enemy was fighting you so much this week, Chuck. This is what we need, because now we know how to pray for one another. By hearing these testimonies, and you know, this strengthens the church to bring unity among ourselves. So we see that God's hand really has been moving, as Chuck said earlier, in this church, because this is what we need. You know, sermonizing is good, but we need to hear the testimonies to strengthen one another, brothers and sisters, so that we would know how to be praying for one another. And by the way, Carrie, eggs have gone down.
Praise the Lord. Oh, well, Sharon.
I'll try to make this really quick. But when Dr. Flint called me, and I had been feeling that the situation I was teaching in wasn't a place that I should stay on Caleb's behalf. It just didn't make sense for him, for me to continue there, though he could go off on his own. I didn't feel like that's what God was asking. And Dr. Flint called me, and I was shocked because I had not sent a single resume. I had sent a couple resumes to places that I thought could fit in our life, but I had not sent anything down here in the South. I mean, I have no connections at all here whatsoever. And when she called, I was shocked. And I actually, after I hung up with her, I went and cried for quite a while. I said, God, there isn't any reason why you would be calling me to go to the South. There's no connections, and you have to be very, very clear with me that this is where you want me to go. And if it is, and quickly, three specific things that I asked God to show me came about in ways that I couldn't deny. And so I called Dr. Flint back and said, you know, I can only go where God calls me. And so if that's where he's calling me, then that's where I'll go. And Caleb and I packed our stuff. And to make this story as short as possible, I just want to take you to the moment when I'm approaching the Tennessee line. It's in the middle of the night. I have a tendency to drive long distances as far and fast as I can. No, not Chuck speed, but I try to get there, you know. And it's about 2 hours before I'm going to cross the Tennessee line. And this overwhelming fear and questioning was entering my mind. There was a lot of losses that had taken place for Caleb and I, that the pile had become so deep on my shoulders that I didn't know how to bear it. And this song, and I want to read the words for you, and not the whole song, but part of it. I had buried my father not long before, who had been an anchor in our life. And as I stood there looking into the grave, knowing that my dad would rise to meet his heavenly father, it had come to me that if there was anything that I had learned from my father's life, is that my Redeemer is faithful and true. And so I pulled up that song as I came closer and closer to the Tennessee line, and I sang for 3 hours straight, repeating this song and again and again as a prayer. As I look back on the road I've traveled, and I see so many times he's carried me through, and if there's one thing that I've learned in my life, my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything he has said, he will do. Every morning his mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true. My heart rejoices when I read the promise. There is a place I'm preparing for you. And of course, as I was driving toward that Tennessee line, I knew there was a house I'd be living in that I had no question God had chosen for me. And I know someday I will see my Lord face to face, because my Redeemer is what, church? Faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. In every situation, he's proved his love to me. When I lack the understanding, he gives more grace to me. Look up the song, sing it. Our God is faithful and true. And even when we aren't sure that we're walking in the way he has asked us, we can kneel down and ask for his revelation of what he wants us to do. Not in the long distance future, but today, right? Because he's faithful and true.
God holds us in the palm of our hands, and each one of us is special. And I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know, but just hang on to that. This much we know, God is faithful and true. Thank you, Sharon. Ralph, if you will finish our last prayer.
As you know, David couldn't build the house of the Lord. His son Solomon was issued to do that, requested to do that. And he had finished it, and he gave praise to the Lord for the ability that he was able to do that for him. And he said in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, he said, "The Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, 'I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice.'" Then he goes on and says in verse 14, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I would hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land." May we kneel now as we give supplication to the Lord. Gracious Father, we just want to praise you for being the God that you are, and a loving God who knows every heart. He knows the concerns on each one. And we just lift up our hearts to you, because we know that you're able to hear us and answer according to your will. And as we lift our hearts up to you, we just want to praise you for loving us and caring for us and watching over us. And we just want you to be with those that are in El Salvador right now, the pastor, the Jocelyn, Andrew, and Gilbert, and the 70 other kids from GCA, the team there, all serving the people in El Salvador. We just ask you to be with them and protect them. May the Lord bless them, that their hearts might be lifted up to you and accept you as their Lord and Savior. We ask that you be with our prayer requests that each one has in our heart. And as earlier we confessed our own sins, as Billy has took on that part there of confession, we ask that you would continually filling us up with your Holy Spirit, because without you we can do nothing. And we ask, like that song, we want you, Jesus. We want you, Lord, in our hearts. For we know that when you're in our hearts, nothing can go wrong. Nothing can change our minds, because the peace that you give us will strengthen us through the eternity. Amen. So we just praise you and thank you that you can be with each and every one of us. You know the needs of each one. You know their concerns. We just ask that you would fill them. And not only fill them, but fill us with a message that we can share with others, that we can tell a great love that you have for each one of us. We just want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for the great sacrifice you have made for us by sending your Son. So we ask that you would bless us, fill us, give a revival in this church, that we can be a light in this community, that they might know who we are because we've been out there showing who you are. So we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Closing song, and I just, Nathan and I have been having our own little blessing over here. Chuck mentioned Titus 3, verse 5. Nathan pulls up his phone and says, look at what someone sent me this week. It was Titus 3, 5, and his text messages. The Steps to Christ passage you read, I just read that the other day. And then last night, Nathan and I got here to practice, and I tell you, Satan did not want this to happen. He was keeping me just as busy and frustrated from just trying to choose some songs. But this topic of assurance has been on my heart from the scriptures as I've been studying, and we can all have assurance that we are saved today. Amen. You don't have to doubt that in your heart. You can know that if you love Jesus and you want to have a relationship with him, guess where you're going to be. And as long as you're actively striving to grow closer to him as a friend. And so that topic has been on my heart, and that song has been on my heart all week. And he said, you know what a really good song is that's been on my heart this week? This song right here. And then just the song is so fitting, and this just shows you how good God is. What is the chorus of the song? This is my story. This is my song. And that's what we've been sharing today, is stories of God's goodness. So stand with us this morning as we close, and let this be the song of our hearts.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture still burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. My Savior all the day long.
Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your presence here today. I pray that you would send your Spirit with each and every one of us. Impress our hearts and our minds as we touch those people out there that you want us to contact and touch. Tell them about your goodness. Tell them about your love. Tell them about the hope that they have because of what you have done. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.